Just to let you guys know, Renzo Gracie loves the jiu-jitsu kicks. Extending control, a buckle and bump, redirect your force.
Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. I am ET, and with me are my co-host and fellow Jiu-Jitsu Geeks, Aaron Barr and Brian Engel. Guys, how are you?
I'm wonderful today. Doing well, thank you.
Awesome. Are you wonderful because of a reason?
No, just typically wonderful.
All right.
Some kind of reason.
All right. Well, we had a really cool experience over the weekend. So I'm going to ask Brian. Brian's not the best speaker or very articulate, but I want him to explain what we did on Saturday.
Why do you say that about Brian?
Have you talked to him?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you listened to the one that he did?
It was excellent.
He got laughed. People laughed at him online. I don't know why.
One person. No, all right. Do you know what?
You know what? Go
I
ahead.
I quit this podcast.
Go ahead. All right. Before we veer off track.
It's too late. Yes. Okay. This weekend we went and hung out with Mr. Renzo Gracie at...
What? What? Who?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Believe it. At Team Manon Jiu-Jitsu in Blacksburg, Virginia, literally across the street from Virginia Tech's campus. We got to take a three-hour seminar with Renzo and got a quick word with him in with him afterwards. And my takeaway from this, if you ever have the chance to do a Renzo Gracie seminar, you do it. I don't care. We had to drive quite a ways, over three hours one way to get to this thing, and some of us had to drive to the central location to actually go there, so it was a lot longer for others. Take a seminar with Renzo if you can.
Let's set it up this way also. Why? Because we got to give credit to the man who made it possible. How did we know about this, and how do we get to this?
Well, I actually, as you all know, probably if you're listening to our podcast, you train under Gustavo in Richmond, Virginia, but I did not start with Chris in Top Game. Moved to Richmond just after receiving my blue belt from Tim Manon. And Tim is a black belt, second degree now. At the time, he was a brown belt under Renzo. So Tim had sent out an email that Renzo was doing a seminar at his school in Blacksburg. And, you know, one thing that, and we'll get to the seminar, I guess some comments about that. But one thing that always I think is funny is, you know, you always hear about these hidden gems all over the country with jiu-jitsu. And I've always said that Tim's one. Very few people know that there's a second-degree black belt under Renzo in Blacksburg, Virginia.
You wouldn't guess it.
No. And I mean, not only an affiliate of Renzo's, but Renzo and Tim actually go way back and are pretty close friends. So he trains a lot with him. And I don't want to get too much into that because we're going to have Tim on hopefully soon.
Yeah.
So we'll get him to talk more about that. But that's how we found out about it. We traveled down there and Tim's school just moved to Blacksburg and he's got a good setup there. And it was a great seminar. And Renzo, he stuck to a theme through the whole thing, which was attacks from side control.
Yeah.
And one thing that I took away from it that I just thought was amazing was not only his approach and what he showed from it, but I always wonder, you know, Eddie Bravo and people who have a system kind of outside the norm of traditional martial arts, it's easy. Their whole shtick, or not shtick, but their whole, you know, deal is differences in jiu-jitsu and developing in different ways. So I always wonder how the guys like Hoyler, Renzo, and Hickson, because they kind of do basic jiu-jitsu. They stick to the basics.
Right.
How are they developing it? And I think there's a good story there with Renzo. And the whole time he talked about that he just got back from Abu Dhabi training with the Sheik over there.
Yeah. And other jiu-jitsu notables.
Yeah. Jeff Glover and just a lot of people. And everything he said was, anything he showed, he goes, yeah, I was working with X, you know, Jeff Glover, and this happened, so I started working on this. And you could see just he approaches it of constantly developing in a laboratory and the opportunities that he has to train with such high-level people, he uses that to really to develop jiu-jitsu and because the stuff he was showing was, I mean, simple side control stuff, but my gosh, the details were crazy.
Right.
And that's one thing that I really noticed from the seminar and really thought was interesting was that.
Yeah.
The, not only high level guys, but you guys remember the story he told about the white belt that nobody could hold down.
That's a great story. Yeah.
Just to give you the Cliff Notes version, Henzo was at his academy one day, and this pretty fit, I guess, bigger guy comes in first day of training, and a lot of the upper belts are going with him, and they can't hold him down. He keeps, I guess, literally standing up or getting up off the ground from side control and other positions, and they all are saying, oh, he's just too strong. He's too strong to hold down. And Henzo learned by watching this guy and maybe working with him, I can't remember, that the guy was just doing a simple, really basic technique that no one else picked up on, no one else thought of. But Henzo showed it to us, and we're all, like, slapping our foreheads like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I probably might have thought of that if I had stayed down in side control for, like, five consecutive years in a row. But
and he made it a point to kind of point out that, you know, you can learn a lot just from the layman because they have the mm-hmm. advantage of being kind of unpredictable and just going with their instincts.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and not being trained and not having the grappler's trained mind. Yeah. So you got to watch how these guys move, too, mm-hmm. and that's really important. That was a good story.
Yeah, it shows that you can learn from anybody, even if they're not, like, deliberately teaching you something. You can learn from rolling with them or watching them roll.
And I think that's a good point for anyone training is we all try to avoid the new guy, the spaz, the really spastic new guy that maybe is athletic, which just is all over the place, and he's a nightmare. I don't like rolling with them because of the risk of injury. It always seems like, man, if you get injured,
I'm going to get popped in the teeth.
I'm going to get popped in the
nose, the ears. Yeah.
But it's good to embrace that and take advantage of that while you have it because, like Henzo was saying, that's how a guy on the street's going to react.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there is some utility in rolling with those guys. You know, yeah. I roll with the two of you quite a bit. And, I mean, even E.T., I mean, man, you and I have rolled together so many times so much over the years. It gets
predictable. We got to switch it up.
I could almost write down what you're going to do and what I'm going to do, and you could do the same to me. So there is a lot of utility in that, I think.
You guys sound like a married couple.
Yeah. Unpredictable. So what?
After all these years.
We went to Massachusetts, and is it legal there? I don't know.
Unrolled? I don't know. Why are you asking me like I know?
Don't get all defensive, man. What are you defensive about? What are you all upset about? I don't know. Brian, get back here.
Brian's very nervous.
The worst.
E.T., what was your favorite part of that? So what did you like most about it?
Well, you know, I think Henzo's known for his personality.
Oh, my gosh.
Other than being a well, you know, highly skilled fighter and fighting anywhere in the world, anybody, he's got, of all the Gracies, he's the one that's got such the magnanimous personality. I mean, he's on Twitter constantly. He's making videos. I mean, he's calling fighters he don't know to settle their hash. It's hilarious, this guy's personality. And to be right in front of him and hear him telling the stories and just, you know, displaying his personality, he embraces a spotlight in a way that a lot of people in his position, they can't. You know, a lot of fighters, especially people as seasoned as him, for some reason they put up this really weird defense or this really weird, like, suit of armor around themselves. Like, if they show their personality, then they're not going to be respected for a fighter. Mm-hmm. Henzo is the opposite of that. He's so funny, and he would rather have you laughing than just be intimidated by him. I mean, that's just the way he is. And you can tell that. The way we interacted with him afterwards, the way anybody was interacting with him, he was grabbing people to take pictures with him. I mean, he embraces his fame in a great way. And I mean, just no airs about him, just a great person. That was my thing, is seeing him face to face and getting to see the way he acts in a video or on Twitter in real life. That was my favorite thing. Even if he didn't show the techniques, which were awesome, just to be in that setting with him. Man, that made my year.
Man, his stories are really awesome. And we have one, and I'll jump to this quickly, and then I want to circle back around to something I watched last night where Henzo was on the Fuel TV.
On the round table, yeah.
MMA round. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about something in that real quick. Okay. But what I want to talk about was the interview we had with Henzo was sadly brief. And that... You know, Henzo was more than willing to talk. I think he would have stayed there forever and answered any questions, but we had to be very respectful of his time. Again, the owner of the academy, Tim, had a guy fighting that night in Roanoke, Virginia, about 45 minutes to an hour drive, and the fight was 2 hours from start time. So Tim was getting, I think, a little nervous to get there on time. So we just had a few moments with Henzo. We asked him to retell. He told, I mean, four or five just absolutely awesome stories. But so he told one of them about his time in Abu Dhabi and with Jeff Glover. But that's why it's short and why it's a little rushed, the intro and all that. We're going to play it after this. But it's a great story. And, of course, we'll let Henzo do it. But going back to the MMA, what is this show, MMA Roundtable?
Is it Roundtable, I think it's called?
Just Roundtable. Anyways, the show on Fuel TV, he made an interesting point. And I think once you meet Henzo, he's so nice and so charismatic. When something happens, like that, his Twitter, where the robbers, he basically beat the heck out of the robbers. While that's funny, I think some people were kind of maybe taken back that, whoa, Henzo did that? He's always seemed so nice and so approachable. But, you know, he was talking on that show, The Roundtable, and he made a point about himself that I thought was really true. He said that a lot of times he's so open and so nice and so charismatic that it's easy for people to overstep the line with him.
Right.
And he'll flip that switch. He said he flips that switch very quickly. And, you know, and that happens.
And
he told one story in Hawaii, which I'm not going to repeat because I asked Henzo to tell it and he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't want to tell that story. I don't blame him.
Which makes me think he doesn't want it out there, so.
Do a seminar with him. Maybe he'll retell it.
But I know it, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, you know, it's odd to see that, you know, after you've met the guy, but that he does have that ability to switch it over. But,
right.
But you can see where he is just so nice and so open and so willing to do anything. You see where people would probably overstep that from time to time.
I can see that's probably why a lot of probably fighters that are in the, you know, the big leagues probably do put a barrier between themselves and the public, because who wants to be grabbed on and, oh, take a picture, and drunk guys wanting to just, you know, playfully shove you and stuff. I mean, I can see where that can probably happen to Henzo quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's one thing in an academy, in a setting where people have signed up for his seminar and he's somewhat mentally prepared for it. But, man, that'd be horrible if you're at, you know,
anywhere.
The mall, and you run into a, you know, a group of MMA fans and.
Maybe you got your wife or kid with you. I mean, it's just.
Our people are trying to rob you.
Yeah.
Asking for a cigarette. Hey.
Hey, you know.
Why you're tweeting. I mean, it happens.
Yeah. But we're going to play the podcast after this. We just had to set this up because I don't like putting just short podcast out there. Mm-hmm. But. We didn't really get to go into too much about the seminar when we were talking to Henzo, because I want Henzo's voice on that podcast.
Absolutely.
And speaking of which, he gave us that little sound clip that I'm going to put at the beginning of every podcast.
It'll have to be a staple.
And it'll be a ringtone.
One thing we need to link on the, and I'll tell the story a little bit, just for a little bit of jiu-jitsu history. And John, who we've had on the podcast talking about Carlos, the book about Carlos, Henzo was talking about the fact that he got in a fight with a man, and he was a young boy. But anyways, funny story. So I was fighting this man when I was like 13 or something like that. But anyway, the guy turned out to be a pretty big high up at a TV station in Brazil. And since that Henzo got in that fight with him, he was more inclined to run some negative press about jiu-jitsu in the media in Rio. That was also mentioned, and it's escaping me now. I listen to so many, you know, there's so many great jiu-jitsu podcasts, and I think I listen to them all. Someone else mentioned that, so I will put a link to that up, because it was just previously in the week, so I'll put a link to those two up, because I thought that was interesting that two people were talking about that same story, and I guess it is important, because jiu-jitsu did for a long time fall out of vogue in Brazil, because it seemed like it was something that only... You know,
and we've heard that from other high-up
guys. Yeah, it's kind of come up around. I never knew why, and it seems like this one gentleman, you know, because of beef with Henzo, started running.
That kind of puts one of the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting, especially to hear it twice from Henzo himself and then somebody else.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting. And I don't know if in the previous podcast, if they know that it was Henzo. I don't think they do. I think they just said for some reason this guy got a bad idea about jiu-jitsu. Well, now a week later we find out why from Henzo. So.
Yeah, let me know which one it is, and when I post this, I'll put that up on there. We're not afraid to put our competitors out there.
No.
No.
Absolutely.
No. Yeah. They can do the same for us. Absolutely. So.
Well, guys, It was a great seminar, like Brian said. Man, if you have the opportunity, you know, get to a Henzo seminar. The techniques will be second to none. The detail will be second to none. And the stories will be just some of the best stuff you've ever heard.
And he will sign your stuff, too.
All of it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I could have got creepy with our collection of Henzo memorabilia.
Your collection.
All right, Brian, all right.
All right.
But anyway,
thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
It was a great seminar, and thanks to Tim and everybody at Team Man
awesome.
And Jiu-Jitsu. And we'll have Tim on here, too. He's got some great stories, too, about getting started with Henzo.
Yeah, I'd like to pick his brain, too.
That would be funny to hear. So we'll leave those for him. But.
All right, guys. Well, I'm E.T.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Aaron.
And we're going to play the podcast for you. Take care. Hey everybody, this is E.T. and Aaron.
We're very lucky to have Henzo Gracie with us.
Believe it, the pleasure is mine. It's great to be here with you guys.
We just finished a awesome seminar with you, Henzo.
Thank you so much, man, for coming.
I was telling you that the first one I went to was you. I've only been training 6 months. You blew my mind then, you blew it now. I've been training like 8 years, so
thank you.
Henzo needs no introduction. We're going to be mindful of his time. He's got to run some other events tonight, but Henzo, you told such great stories in the seminar. We just wanted to see if we could get you just to tell just
people
one.
People know you for these stories,
these great
man.
Stories. I mean, guys, you got to know who he is with jiu-jitsu. If you don't, just turn it off now. So we just want to give him the floor for a few minutes just to see if he can.
Which story would you like to know?
I love the Jeff Glover story.
Man, I like the Hawaii one.
I love that too, man. If you mind.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the Jeff Glover one.
Okay.
We were competing in England for the last Abu Dhabi competition where I fought Marius Perry. And as we went back to the hotel, it was a very nice, very fancy hotel. We walked into the elevator, and I just met Jeff Glover. Like, we just say hello, you know.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
So as we're walking in, Jeff Glover forgot his deodorant. He's smelling like a roadkill. Like, his smell was bad. And I remember smelling and go, why did he not put some deodorant before a competition, you know? As we walk in, I look back, I see a whole family that was inside the elevator too. I see the guy's wife reaching for her nose and covering her nose, you know, like feeling the smell and covering her nose. I couldn't help, but I turned to them and I apologized. And you have to understand, when I apologize like I was smelling too. So I said, I apologize, but we just came from a fighting competition, and our friend here forgot his deodorant. We apologize for smelling like this. And she goes, oh, no problem, no problem. You know, so Jeff waits for like a few seconds until the elevator stops on his floor. Then he turns to the family and goes, and I really apologize. By the way, my name is Henzo Gracie. You guys have a good night. I laughed, you know. I was laughing so hard I couldn't tell that I was Henzo Gracie, you know.
Oh, man. That's great.
I'm just curious, what do you got going on now? I mean, what's in the future?
I've been training a lot. I just came back from Abu Dhabi. I spent an amazing 15 days there training with my friend, His Highness, Sheikh Tahnoun bin Zayed, and it was an unbelievable experience, you know. It was an unbelievable way of to recycle moves, old moves and new things, you know. And I felt that my jiu-jitsu improved on those 15 days because I had the opportunity to train and study every day, you know, with very knowledgeable people. And I'm looking forward to fight again, you know, and I'm getting in shape and I'm feeling great. I was just looking at, the guy just brought me some old submission magazines from 2000.
That'd be me.
And I look at the pictures and I realize that I'm better looking now than I was when I,
that's right,
12 years ago, you know. So it's like one of those Benjamin Button. Yeah, so this is a weird case of Benjamin Button happening again, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at 46, we're going to be banging in there and having some fun again.
Great.
While the most people at the middle age crashes by a sport car or a motorcycle, I jump back in the ring. I can't help.
Henzo, did you make it through the hurricane? Okay, the tropical.
Yes, I was in Abu Dhabi. My wife, my wife had to do that by herself.
Oh no!
So she was without electricity for a week, and I call her. I say, how's the situation? There's electricity already. She goes, no. I say, okay, the plane is delayed. I'm gonna be here for a couple of months.
Well, how did your academy do?
The academy was fine. My academy is in Midtown, so by 7th Avenue. So there was no problem at all.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Well, Henzo, I think we'll let you run on, but thank you.
Thank you, guys. A pleasure to be here with you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Great to have you guys here at the seminar.
Thanks
for going light on me, not choking me out.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
You mind saying into the thing, Henzo Gracie loves the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. I'm going to take that sound clip and use it if you don't mind.
Love the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks?
Jiu-Jitsu Geeks, yes, sir.
Geeks. Just to let you guys know, Hansel Gracie loves the jiu-jitsu kicks.
Yes.
All the best, guys.
Thank you, Master Gracie.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Master.